feel to me like the Holy Spirit was just
helping God
set the table.
Yeah.
And it was left up to
us.
We
were
on the floor
of chairs. That's right.
Now, you can walk away from this meeting this morning. You can still be spiritually hungry.
Right.
If you choose to, but you don't have to.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit has set the table, and I praise Him.
Yeah.
You may be seated. What honor it is to be with you all here this morning.
Amen.
And how God has really blessed the Cross Carriers. It's just out of this world. That's the only way I can describe
it's
out of this world.
Yeah.
I knew that last song, when you hit that song, I thought, oh my goodness, oh how precious. I mean, it's just like putting the chocolate on the ice cream. I mean the good stuff, the strawberries on the ice cream. When I'm sleeping in the grave with the flowers and not in the way. Heard so many folks that's no longer live in this world.
Yeah,
I've heard them sing it. Testify to the fact that there's a far better land.
Amen.
The Lord has not changed my heart, so I'm just going to obey the Lord. You'll get your Bible and turn with me this morning. There's some scripture out of the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua's writing, chapter 5. Joshua's writing, chapter 5. I'm going to start reading out of verse number 9, Joshua chapter 5, verse number 9, and read just a few verses. I want to make sure that I do exactly what God would have me to do this morning.
Right.
And that's so important for all of us to follow the Lord. But I thank God for the sweet table that the Holy Ghost has set.
That's right. Bless Him.
Helping God.
Verse number 9 says this, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month. At even in the plains of Jericho.
Yes.
And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn on the same day. And the manna ceased on the morrow." You may be seated. That's the scripture that the Lord has laid on my heart. God has placed a few things out of this reading that it was necessary that I'd go back and I would just look at this scripture. Brother Harvey mentioned the revival that we were in, and he said, I should be rested up. But I'll tell you what, Brother Harvey, that revival wore me out. I worked and labored in those altar calls and begging folks to come, and I'd go home every night exhausted, just begging folks to come. Pleading with folks to come. And wow, what a revival God gave us.
He did.
But what the Lord has just nestled on my heart today, and I want to leave it with you all, is this place of lodging, Gilgal. This place of lodging. Now, we know this, that God had this place already in reserve. Though they had to wait for it a long time. Oh, what a journey. What a journey through the wilderness. We run away early this morning to be with you all. And I think Sarah asked if we could stop and get a drink. And boy, I thank God for that. I'm all about that. You can stop as often as you want to. It doesn't bother me. And so we pulled into McDonald's. And we got out of the van. And we started into the restaurant to get us something to drink. Brother Donnie said, "Did you see the car up ahead of us?" And I said, "I didn't really pay any attention." He said, "Look at it." So when we got our food and we got our drinks, we went back to the van. I looked at the vehicle. They had spent the night there in that parking lot. Inside of that car, the windows rolled down. There was two people, and they were asleep. Looked like they were in a very, very deep sleep. Looked like they were past exhaustion. That's what I thought when I looked at it. And I looked in the car, Brother Hartman, I saw, it looked to me like they had all the garments that they owned in that car, in the seats, in the floorboards, in the back glass. It looked like everything they owned was in that car. And that's the place that they had to lodge last night. When I think of the word lodging and I ponder on just the word itself about lodging, I think about a place that we can just go and we can just relax. We can just settle down. And actually, it's a place that we can just roll the heavy weight or the burden off. Every so often, we're blessed and we'll go to vacation. And I guess there's only one place in the entire world that I'm allowed to go on vacation. That'd be Tennessee. I'm not allowed to go anywhere else. I don't know really if there is an ocean. Other than the Ohio Ocean, that's the only one I've ever seen. You'd have a hard time convincing me that there is such a thing as an ocean or a desert where no trees and grass grow. I've never witnessed that. Maybe there is. I've seen pictures. But every so often we'll take that trip. It's a yearly thing. I'll go somewhere to preach, and Debbie will get us a room. Sometimes we'll spend a week. One year I was just so tired. She said, Larry, I've reserved us a place to rest. I know Debbie remembers this, and we got there and it was pouring down the rain. And I said, Debbie, you all go shopping, do whatever you want to do. But I said, I think I'll just stretch across this bed. And I slept all day. They came in from shopping. And I said, why don't we just get ready and go to bed? And I just crawled right in the bed, got ready, went to bed, and I slept all night. Next day is raining. I said, why don't you all go shopping? And I got out of the bed, laid back down across the bed, and I stayed in the bed. I've never done that in my entire life. I guess I slept for two days and two nights. I needed a place to lodge.
Yeah.
I just needed a place to go rest. I needed a place to lodge, and Debbie had made reservations. I'm so thankful she looked ahead. Because not always in our past, we would just take it on a spur of the moment flight. You know, we'll get a room. You've all done that. We'll get a room, and then after maybe a church service, we'll go to every motel and they're booked up. No room. Maybe drive another hour. No room. Maybe drive another hour. No room. Just wore out, exhausted. We've all been there. God had a place reserved after this long trip, 40 long years in the wilderness. They were walking through the wilderness land, following God. Some places where there was no water at all to drink. And they were getting those places, and they were crying. They said, now our children's going to die, and our herds are going to die. Our wives are going to die, and you've led us out here in the wilderness place where there's no water to drink. And they would cry aloud, and then God would say, Moses, I want you to go to the rock, and I want you to take that staff that you've got, that rod. And he said, I want you to smite the rock. And when Moses obeyed the Lord and he smote the rock, the Bible said that water flowed out of the rock. I believe that. I believe that water flowed out of the rock. And they drank water from the rock. I believe it. When they got into a place and they said, now what are we going to do? Our family, we had bread in the pots back in Egypt. We had bread to the field, even though we were in bondage and slavery, but still we had bread. We would need the bread or need the bread. Even though we were in bondage, there was bread back in Egypt. But now you've led us to a place where there's not any bread to eat. And God said, Moses, you remind them that I'm still in control of this thing. And church, I know we live in some terrible times, some horrible situations, but I want to remind all of us that God is still in control of this thing. God gets the last word. Amen. It's going to them that God said, you tell them that they're going to be fed, and God said, I'll feed them with angels' food from above. God said, I'll just fill the land. All they've got to do is go out of their tents and pick that up and take it back to the house and make sure that you don't hoard any of it up, because God said, I'm an everyday God. You don't have to worry about my supplies and my storehouse wearing land. God said, I'm an everyday God. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to trust me on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. I'll tell you what, I've been on this trip for a while, and he's been an everyday God. Amen. Every day of my life, there's been new situations that have come up. I'm just like you are. I've suffered the loss of loved ones. I've had to stand on this shore and wave goodbye just like you have. I've been there. I've been there when the money ran out. I've been there when our family's health, I was in jeopardy. I've been there. I've been there when there wasn't any gas. Money to buy gas. I've been there, but I want to say, God has never failed me. He's an everyday God. Praise his holy name. Amen. They didn't know it, but God had a place already reserved. God had called ahead. I want to reserve a room for over 1.5 million people. That have been in the bondage and in the wilderness land for 40 long years. They're going to be tired. They're going to be exhausted. But God said, I want to reserve a land. It's a lodging place. I want a place where they can remove the burden off of their shoulders, and they can sit down and spend the night in a new land that God said, all of these years I prepared a land for you. The best is yet to come. A lodging place. I don't know about tomorrow. Maybe next week you'll see me in my old truck in a parking lot somewhere spending the night. I hope not. I've got that thing plumb full of tools. It's got so much. I've still got my bibs from last winter still in that old pickup truck. I'm just like that, you know. I want to go prepared all the time. I hope I don't have to spend the night in my pickup truck. But if I do, I'm going to remind myself, it's not home anyway, Larry. I'm just passing through this fell sorrow. But I thank God that God had a Gilgal, a place of lodging for Larry Waters. I'm not talking about over there. I'm not talking about coming out of Egypt. I'm talking about the Gilgal place in my. I'm talking about Calvary. I'm talking about Golgotha's Hill. I'm talking about a place where my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And praise his holy name, he wrote sin off of a sinner. That's it. Listen, I've got a lodging place. It's not only just a place to spend the night, but God said, Joshua, trust me every step of the way. He said, I want you to tell the priest we're nearing the Jordan. And he said, I want you to tell them to carry the ark. And when they get into the brinks of Jordan, he said, I want you to command them to stand there still, bearing the ark of the covenant. The priest started the trip, and when they got their feet in the water, God said, right there, stop. And they stopped there, and God started doing something great. Matter of fact, it was so unique. The Bible said the kings of the Amorites and all the kings that had possessed the land of Canaan, it said their spirits left them. And they began to fear the Almighty God. Something had happened. The river of Jordan swelled up, and it dried up, and there was no water. I say God's a mighty, mighty delivering God.
Yeah.
Praise his holy name.
Yes. Bless you,
he got them to that spot. He said, tell them to stand still. And there they stood.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden the water dried up. And God said, now you command the children of Israel to just go across the river to the other side on dry ground.
Yeah.
I say, God's a mighty good God.
Amen.
Then he said, Joshua, amen, don't stop there. But Joshua, I'll give you the word as you go.
Yeah.
Isn't that just like God?
Yeah.
We got to trust him all the time, Harvey. We just got to trust him, take him for his word.
That's right.
And he said, now I want you to pick out 12 men.
Yeah.
He said, a man from every tribe.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I want you to command those men that when they walk across the Jordan, that they come back. And he said, the stones where the priests are standing, he said, I want them to pick a stone up, put it on their shoulder, and carry it out of the Jordan. He didn't tell him much after that, other than just do it. Church, let's just take God at his word. God just says to stay faithful, to raise your family in the house of the Lord, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. God just says do it. And if you'll do it, God will do the rest.
Amen.
It's just like you trying to save yourself. You can't do it.
No.
But the very second you give up and you surrender and you say, God, I've done everything I know to do and I'm still not saved, God will say, all right, let me do the good work now. Brother Terry Brock, where he pastors up in Lima, several years ago, he said a little girl come riding into the church on a bicycle, parked her bicycle out front. He said later on we had to put bicycle parking out in front of the church. Yeah, it was the most amazing thing. But he said this little girl came in. Brother Terry said he stood and he preached that day. Said that little girl came to the altar and bowed. And she was just out of the neighborhood. And he said, I bowed with her and had prayer. She got up and she said, preacher, I don't know a lot about this, but something has happened to me. And Brother Terry was trying to explain the Lord your Savior. She said, you just stay here, preacher. Next week I'm coming back. She brought a big bunch from the neighborhood that's on their bicycles. They parked out in front of the church. Brother Terry said, I got up to preach. Said that little girl led that whole neighborhood down to the altar. And Brother Terry said, I got down and he said, I was working at the altar with one of those young ladies. He said, that little girl come up, pulled on his coat, said, preacher, get out of the way. I need to help this young lady get saved. And you see, God knows what he's doing. When we give up and surrender, God then can be God.
That's right.
We're trying to fix it all.
Yeah.
And we're making a mess out of it. It's not working.
No.
It's not working in our government, in our churches across the globe. And we're trying to do it ourselves, and it's just not working. I say, let's just surrender and let God be God.
Amen.
Let's go back to following God.
Yeah.
God said, Joshua, just tell him to pick those stones up and carry it out. Joshua said, all right, he chose 12 strong men out of every tribe, and they were going to represent their tribe, their family. And then God said, where the priest stood there, Joshua, he said, get stones and pile them up 12 stones high where the priest stood on the brink. And then he said, and then tell the men to get the stones and put them on their shoulder. And God said, you tell them to carry them to the place that I've got chosen for a lodging place. I don't know how heavy they were, but I'd say God helped them every step of the way. And God said, I've got a particular spot picked out. I'm glad I've got a Gilgal spot in my life where I lodge. I lodge. I'm talking about where the Lord rode sin off of my back. He said, I'm going to do something today at this lodging place. Whenever you get there, God said, I'm going to do something for you all that I'm not done yet. He said this generation that come up, he said, but first things first, we got to take care of some business.
Yeah.
I love the hand of business that God is performing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God said, I made a covenant with your father Abraham that every male child shall be circumcised. He said that was a covenant between me and Abraham. He said Moses circumcised his children. He said in the wilderness, that generation that came out of Egypt, he said they were circumcised, but he said they died in the wilderness. And God said, Joshua, this day in Gilgal, he said that covenant that I made in the 4 day, God said, this covenant I'll recognize once again.
Yeah,
I say if we're going to go with God, we're going to have to do it God's way.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. A covenant, a token with God.
Yes.
And there that covenant was sealed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They lodged in the land. And there in the middle of the lodging were 12 stones. Stacked on one another. Where the priest stood in the Jordan, there was 12 stones stacked up. There was 2.5 tribes that went on with them, but they said, we want to stay on this side. Moses said, be sure your sins will find you out. He said, if this is what God is pleased with, you've got to go with us to the land, be safe. Then you can go back to your families. And they moved. But I'm so glad when them men were on their way back toward their family, they looked out there and they said, that's it. That's the place. That's the marker in our life. I tell you what, there's better be some markers in your life. There better be some landmarks. The times, the moments that you spent with God and God spent it with you. There better be some of that. He said in Gilgal, there's going to be a monument. And he said the days will come and the years will pass. He said every so often a father will walk by this Gilgal place. He said he'll have his little boy with him. Maybe they're on their way down to the Jordan to fish. I don't know. That little boy is going to look up at his daddy and say, Daddy, what's the meaning of these stones? And that daddy's going to say, well, here's the meaning.
Preach it.
400 years of bondage. God sent a deliverer by the name of Moses. And God led us out of the Egypt land, and God led us through the wilderness land. And when we got to this land of promise, God rolled back Egypt. I say there's a problem in our churches today. We've got too much Egypt on our back, and we need to find a Gilgal place and let God roll the reproach of Egypt back off of our back.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to turn back to God. You're here today and you don't have a lodging place in the Lord. You need one. You need one. It's an awful thing to think that someone might have to spend their night in their car. That might be the only lodging place they've got. That might be it. And that could happen to anybody. That could happen. But I'm not talking about the lodging places in this world. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm thankful for the covenant. When God made that covenant with Abraham, he said, Abram, come here. He said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. He said, by the way, Abram, after this covenant, he said, no longer will I ever call you Abram. God said, I'll call you Abraham. The day the Lord saved my soul and he removed the reproach of sin off from me, and I trusted in the complete work of Calvary and the resurrected Savior, he done something else.
Amen.
He gave me a new name.
Amen.
Praise his holy name.
Amen.
Changed. I had to admit who I was. you've got to admit who you are.
That's right.
That's right.
A lodging place. A lodging place. That's the message.
That's it.
That's the message today. A lodging place. God's got a place reserved just for you. It might be Mount Carmel for you. My place was not Mount Carmel.
No. Bless.
No. My place, 2.5 hours from here.
Yeah.
That's where I bowed before the Lord.
Yeah.
Bless. That's my Gilgal place. Yes. I don't know. Maybe your Gilgal place might be somewhere around Cincinnati. Might be in Kentucky. Might be in Tennessee. And there might be someone with us today, and there's no place.
No, right.
You don't have
do
a lodging place.
Bless you, Lord.
A lodging place is where God said, I'll be there when you get there.
Yes.
You can lodge with me tonight.
That's right.
In the land that I promised you.
Yeah.
He said, by the way, he said there's going to be some new changes in your world. He said, that manna that I've been sending you every morning, God said, I'm cutting it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, you're going to eat corn now.
Yeah.
Bless.
You're going to eat corn. I tell you what, I like fried corn, smashed corn, boiled corn, raw corn. I just like corn.
Bless.
Don't matter. But he said, you're going to eat corn, you're not going to eat the manna. No more.
That's right.
Cutting it off.
Yep.
God said there's going to be some changes in your life.
Yes.
That reproach that's been on your shoulders for 40 years.
Yes.
God said it's now gone.
That's right.
He said you're going to enter into a land, and he said it's already inhabited. Right?
Yeah.
Don't you dare think because you get saved it's going to be smooth sailing.
No.
All right.
No.
No.
That's right.
But I'll say this, it'll be good sailing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. Even in the storms, it's still good sailing.
That's right.
I'd rather be on the old ship of Zion than any ship that I know of.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The old ship of Zion. Greatest ship that I know.
Amen.
How about you today? Have you and God got a place of lodging?
Bless you, Lord.
Lodging.
That's right.
It's where God is. Reserved. God's waiting on you to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at all God has done to get you there.
Yeah.
Look. Look at the things. Look at the moments.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have been taken out of this life by car accidents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suicide.
Yeah.
I mean, the devil could have convinced you to end it all.
That's right.
All those moments. All those things. God has been leading you out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Took good care of you to get you to that place that he called ahead, and he's got it reserved.
That's right.
Because you need a place to lodge.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Just you and God.
Yeah. That's
right.
Just you and God.
Bless
you.
Yeah.
Just you and the Lord. Just you and God. Lodge.
Yeah.
I mean, God said just bring your cares.
Yeah.
Bring your burden.
Yes.
God said, I'll bring it.
That's right.
Bring your past. God said, I'll remove it.
That's right.
God said, I will even remember it. When you bring it back up, God said, we talk about it.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, God, I used to be this. God said, I don't remember it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I buried that old man.
Yes.
That old woman, I buried him.
Gone.
I buried him.
Yeah.
I buried him in the Jordan.
Yes.
I wrote Egypt off. How about you?
Yeah,
God's got a place reserved. A lodging. And God wants to lodge
you
today. I hope everybody here is saved.
Yeah, bless.
I pray you are, but if you're not, get saved today.
Yeah.
Get saved today. Can you stand right now?
Right.
Brother Roger, you get the invitation song together for us. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I want to do more than encouraging. I literally want to beg you. beg you to come and meet with God in this place of life.
Sure.
I beg
you. Bless.
I beg you. I promise you, you can't make it without Him.
That's right.
You can't do it. You cannot make it without God. You're finding yourself in an area that you've never been. It's new.
That's right.
Never been there before. You won't be able to make it without the Lord. You can't make it without God. Will you come to this hilltop?
Yes.
Right here. Right here at Mount Carmel. Homecoming day.
Yes.
Homecoming day. Maybe God looked down through the days, the years, and God's saying, I've got a place reserved. It's a Gilgal place for somebody in this congregation.
Amen.
You can come. You can come.
Yes.
If you're not saved, I beg you, will you come right now? Will you take that step? Oh, I imagine it would have been tough to step in that Jordan. Knowing what's at risk. That's going against all logic. The river swelled up and it stopped. That's going against logic. And you can walk through on dry ground. Maybe you started to run.
Bless.
Then you got comfortable and you just thought, I'll just. Maybe some folks just stopped. But I want to say, come. All the way through. God's got a life in place.
Right.
He's done so much
to
make sure that you can get to where He's at.
That's right.
Come on. Come on right now. While they sing, will you come? Right now. Moses was faithful. God took him up over Israel.
Look, the country over. That's it. Far as you get to go. I mean, they were under new leadership. Joshua. Under new leadership, commander. I mean, their whole life had been changed.
That's right.
Amen.
Fell under total new leadership.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. what it takes to follow the Lord. You've got to come under new leadership.
Amen.
That's right.
Jesus Christ has now got to be your commander-in-chief.
Yes.
Your leader. I mean, everything had changed. That generation, the old generation that remembered Egypt, they died in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
This new generation, all they had done is heard about
it. Yeah, right. Never experienced.
That's right. That's right.
Young people. But what they had heard about had landed in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt.
Yeah.
I get weary of folks brag more about their sinful past.
Yeah.
Right.
I did too. Yeah,
brag
right.
about what yeah. God has done in their soul.
Yeah.
Right.
You spend time around folks and they'll go back to the moonshine days and they'll go back to that day and the robbery days and that's all they want to talk about.
Yeah.
No.
That's right.
That day's gone.
That's right.
Amen.
I've got something new to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
God removed that reproach of
Egypt. Yeah, it is.
Amen.
God will do that for you.
Amen.
Will you sing one more verse? Yes. Boy, I really can tell you, guys. If God is knocking at your heart, come right now. It might be the very first time you ever spoke. That's okay. Trust Him. Trust
Him.
Someday, I know this, and you do it well, it'll be the last one.
That's right.
The last preacher will stand and beg.
Yep.
The last church will stand and sing the last invitation.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the last
one. Yeah.
And boy, it's going to be home, sweet home.
Yeah,
before the Redeemer.
Amen.
Praise His holy name.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Roger. Thank you for the invite. Bless you. I appreciate it. That's my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Brother Roger. I'll just let you know a little secret. Brother Roger will be preaching for us the third Sunday of July. Third Sunday of July. Do you all want to come and follow him?
Bless.
You got a gate that locks. Lodge with us for a weekend. Wouldn't that be good? God bless you, Brother Roger.
Thank you, Larry. Tara, feel confident this morning for us while we ponder for just a moment. God is still moving in hearts.
Yes, He is.
Larry brought us a wonderful message. The singers had sung so good. And In that message, he talked about those stones that were stacked up
there. Yeah, that's right.
It's a memorial to all of us. How many of you have a memorial in your life where you can go back to the day that you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ? But often, things in this life draws your attention away from the church and away from God. I wish that our people today would put the emphasis on church that we put on everything else in our life. The ball games, the concerts, the things that at the job place, and everything else that we set such a high priority on.
Yeah.
And church just filters to the bottom of the list.
Right,
and
right.
When we get all these other things done, if we have time, then we'll go to church.
Right.
And we wonder why our homes are falling apart.
That's right.
Why our kids are astray.
Yeah.
Why our church attendance is dropping.
Right.
And it's because moms and dads have forgotten to go back and visit their memorials along the way.
Amen.
You and I are not where we're at because we're all that.
Right.
We are where we are by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's the truth, brother.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, bless.
Because
God
has watched over us and led us and blessed us in spite of ourselves.
That's right.
Amen.
When we would do wrong, God was there to clean up the past.
Yeah.
And then to put it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again.
Right.
Today, I believe God has talked to hearts that do the songs and the word.
Yeah.
But church, our hearts is to you that are away from God that is hurting.
Yeah.
You know you're hurting. You can put on the best smile. I said here a few years ago in a message, when we walk in these doors, we put on our best smile.
Yeah.
And we try to camouflage everything that's going on in our life.
Yeah.
We're trying to hide it. But you can't hide it.
Amen.
God knows about your pain, your heartache.
Yeah,
he knows about your sorrow. He knows about those things that nobody else knows about in your life. You can go to church and you can rejoice in the singing. You can even say amen to the preacher every once in a while.
Yeah.
But if your heart's not right, it'll tell on you.
Yeah.
And you know where you're at. Yeah. Tara sings a song for us every once in a while that says, we've got to go back. And we need to go back.
Yeah.
Bless.
Those stones, now, not preaching Larry's message, those stones was there for an important point.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you went past them.
Yeah.
That boy.
Yeah.
That father who told that son, this is what that means.
Yeah.
That son, no doubt, told his son.
Right.
And that son told his son.
Yeah.
Moms and dads, our children are still out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
They don't have a point of a lodging place, a resting place, a time that God came in their heart and saved them. I feel sorry for this new generation because it wasn't raised like we were.
Right.
We didn't have a whole lot. We were poor. But one thing we did have, we had a home that loved Jesus Christ and loved the church.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter what day of the week it was. If church was open, we was in church.
That's right.
Ball games wasn't important. Golfing, boating, fishing.
Yeah.
You say, Roger, you're a pastor. You're talking to every one of us this morning. Anything that we put before God, becomes a God. It's time to put them behind us.
Right. Amen.
Lift up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, I've made my mistakes, but from this day forward, God, if you'll restore me, I'll try my best to work for you until my dying days come. Because the price is too high. It's your children and your grandchildren that's going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
If you don't leave a memorial behind.
That's the truth.
And put all this other stuff behind us. I work hard.
Monday through Saturday. And I'm just telling you, like, my old truck looks like your truck. Becky and the kids laugh at me and make fun of me because only one person can ride in my truck.
Same here.
But most of the time, there's two of us in there.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Bless
me and God. The rest of them, they can't look past all the stuff I got in there, but I don't want to be without what I have need of.
Right.
But come Sunday morning,
yeah,
there's a fire down on the inside,
yeah,
that says I need to be at church.
Right. That's right.
You say, well, you're a pastor. Even pastors get tired.
Yeah.
Amen. Larry?
Oh, yeah.
Larry?
Oh, yeah,
preachers get tired. Lay members get tired. Yeah. But then if I could just feel one ounce of that heavenly breeze come by my soul.
Good.
Oh, I know what Tom Metcalf said. When I feel that breeze, I could go bear hunting with a switch. Because God has moved. While they sing this song, I ask you as church members, you that know that you've been saved,
God have your way.
Do you need to go back? Go back by Bethel. Leave some things there. And pick up your cross and follow Jesus Christ. This altar's open. Moms and dads, young men and women, boys and girls, listen as she sings this song for us. And you follow your heart. You know who you are. Whatever happened. Yes. Follow your heart this morning. The best thing to do is take it to God and leave it at the altar. Yes. By the Holy Ghost. Yes. Come on, follow your heart today. We'll just go back.
That's right.
Yes. Serving God.
No
in between.
That's right.
Yes. Where are you at this morning? God told him if they was lukewarm, he'd spew them out of his mouth. Where are you at today? Are you hot or are you cold? Lukewarm won't do it. Follow your heart today. Yes. We've got something to stand up for. Listen to that. To the absolute. Our church was strong. When our church is strong, our families are strong. When our families and church are strong, our country is strong. The preacher can be strong. The church can be on fire for God. Yes. Follow your heart today. Take that step. The first step is the hardest. Listen. Then we'll rise. Like a sleeping giant. Amen. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, Brother Harvey, it's return.
Yeah.
We're being made strong.
We're not
going
to the fire of the
day.
That's right.
Our lives
are
sealed. Yes.
Yeah.
We're going back to some of you need to move this morning. It's not going to get better until you recognize where you're at and take a step for God. Not going to get any better.
No.
But if you follow your heart, God will make it better.
Yeah.
If you'll just do what He is laying upon you.
Yes.
It's not great.
No.
church, we've got to go back. Yes. Amen. I wish somebody would move this morning. We've got so many that need to move. And you say, how do you know that? Your countenance tells on you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it will.
Isn't that what the scripture says? Your countenance tells on you. You could try to hide it, put that big smile on, but still underneath, God knows exactly the spot that you're in this morning. And I was going to say this earlier in the service, but I need to say it right now. Thank God that our country,
that's right.
Roe v. Wade. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Millions of babies have been killed. But thank God we finally got some Supreme Court justices in there that had the mind of God and knowing the value of life. It's not a fetus, it is a child that they've been killing for all these years. And it's not over yet, church. It's not over. The Democrats, and whether you're Republican or Democrat, it don't matter. I heard this on the news, so I'm just telling you how I heard it. Are protesting, they're trying to find out how they can find a way around it. And folks, if there's a way to be found around it, politicians will find it. But there's one thing about it. There are several states that as soon as it was announced, their abortion clinics have been shut down. Some of you didn't hear me. Their abortion clinics have been shut down. Put out of business. I hope some of them get saved before they get called out of this life, because otherwise they're going to stand for every soul that they have taken out of that mother's womb. You say, Roger, you really believe that? Bible told them in the Old Testament that if a man smote a woman that was with child and that child died, his life was expected to pay for that child's life. Some of you say, singing was good, preaching was good, now Roger's got to get up there. But you know it's true. Amen. Brother Emerson joined our church by letter a few months back, and the church is folded. There is no church there. And it's on my heart this morning. We're going to take him in by statement. And he knows the Lord. He's been saved. He's a converted Catholic. Amen. He used to have the law. Now he's got grace. So I need a motion and a second to accept him by statement into the house of the Lord. Right there, brother. I always want to call you Roscoe. Brother Wayne made a motion. And Brother Ron with a second. All in favor of the church, say, raise your hand. But what we're going to do right now, while the cross carriers and Larry and Debbie and our elders make their way downstairs, we're going to get Emerson, if he would, to come up here. Lisa's here. Is she downstairs?
She's here.
Okay. Get Lisa to come up here with her as well. And we're going to shake hands, giving him the same right as any other member of this church. And the altar's still open. If you want to stop by and visit it, we'll stop shaking hands, we'll stop eating, and we'll just come up here and pray with you. Amen. But we're going to let them go down and our elders go down while we shake hands and give Brother Emerson right hand full fellowship. And this morning we got Tara up here. She can go ahead and sing for us while we shake hands in fellowship. My friend and pastor Ernie's with us, and we're going to ask him before anybody takes off to ask the blessing over the food for us today. And then, Larry, I want you to get Debbie. I'm giving the cross carriers, Donnie, giving you an assignment. Make sure you get Gene and get him downstairs. And get him a plate if you need to. All right? I know Sarah's here, but you can help your brother out.
That's right.
Amen. I give him an assignment this morning. And then shortly we'll all join you downstairs and we'll have a good time of fellowship. But Ernie, if you would, you want to come up here where they can hear you?
If you want me to,
yeah, I don't care. It's up to you. But let's bow our heads as he says, blessing for us.
Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've made today, Lord. Woke us this morning, watched over us through the night, brought us to this place this morning of worship. that we can worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you, Lord, not only for the beautiful day, but for the people that we've got to see and have fellowship with today. And most of all, Lord, for the sweet Holy Spirit that you've sent, the songs that have blessed our heart, and the messages went out today. Now, Lord, we pray to bless those that may have turned you away today. Please, dear Lord, give them another opportunity. We know that life is short, dear Lord, and people only have while they're living. You said, as a tree falls, so shall it be. God bless them to have another opportunity, I pray. Yeah. Go with us, dear Lord. Bless the food that's been prepared. And God watch over all that are here today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. One more thing I want to say. While you're standing and making your way to come around and shake hands with Brother Emerson, Jack, if you would, get these offering plates, and we're going to set them put one here and one back there in the vestibule area. And how many has been blessed by the cross carriers of Brother Larry this morning? Amen. Now, the church is helping them with their expenses. Anybody that's bought gas knows it's expensive to travel. They left early this morning. And it's our responsibility to help them along the way. If they've been a blessing to you, you be a blessing to them. And put them in, and every bit of this, if you say, Roger, I'd like to give something, but I don't have any cash on me. If you're like me, you never have cash. Write a check to the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church, and we'll make sure it gets to them. Ron will make sure every nickel goes right to Brother Larry and the cross carriers. All right? So don't be greedy. Some of you, you talk money in a Baptist church, you get quiet. I'm telling you the truth. Get that wallet out, blow the dust off of it, and put some money in it, and give it to these workers. They're working for God. They're not working for money. They're working for God. And we ought to try to help them on this journey. Go ahead and sing. Emerson and Lisa, come up here. And we'll come around, shake hands with them. And you just go downstairs. We invite you to stay with us and eat, but we do ask. Please keep all food and drinks downstairs. All right? God bless you today. Yeah.